Nick Flynn wrote a memoir recently with a title that contains a word I won't say on the radio, a word that is often abbreviated as BS. So, I will now tell you the title, and I'll use the BS abbreviation for the word I can't say, okay? Nick Flynn's memoir is called Another BS Night in Suck City. Tells the story of Flynn's very complicated relationship with his father. Nick Flynn's mother left his father when Flynn was only 6 months old. When Nick Flynn was 16, he received the first of hundreds of letters from his father, who was serving time in federal prison for bank robbery. Flynn told Ann Strainchamps how he and his father knew about each other.
This woman I had dated, we were both at a party, and she was telling this story about this eccentric friend of her family's who would come to her house for Thanksgiving and Christmas and sort of act out, and he was like their entertainment in some way. And she was telling the story because we're all sort of aspiring writers, and she was sort of telling it as a cautionary tale about what sort of madness awaited us. You know, this was going to be our fate. And as she was telling the story, there were some details of it that I realized I sort of pieced it together as she was telling it. I was actually not in the circle that she was telling to. I was sort of on the outskirts just listening. And I realized it was my father that she was talking about. And I went up to her afterwards and, you know, and tapped her on the shoulder and said, that friend of your family's, that's my father. And, you know, we had already dated for, you know, 6 months or so before that, about a year before. And, you know, she looked at me in horror, you know, that I would make something up like that. And I said, it's true. And we ended up going back to her dorm room, and she showed me albums that she had pilfered from him. When he was in prison, he kept all his things in her basement, her family's basement. And she took record albums, and, you know, they became part of her collection. And his name was written on the front of the albums. And I sort of had recognized his handwriting, his sort of unmistakable scrawl from the letters he had sent me. And she and I ended up staying together for 10 years, actually, the woman and I. And that was how he and I knew about each other. We knew the whereabouts of each other was through this Emily.
At the center of this book you've written is this sort of shocking coincidence of having your father walk into the homeless shelter where you're working. Tell me about that. How did that come about?
You know, we both knew that we were in Boston. And at some point in 1987, he was living the life that many, I think, single men in America, you know, used to live, you know, if they were maybe somewhat marginal outside the mainstream, in these single room occupancy hotels, you know, men's hotels, flop houses. And he was in one of those, and the wave of gentrification that sort of, you know, swept across the country, you know, he was partially caught up in that. You know, part of it is also, you know, his own, you know, fault or his own, you know, he's a difficult tenant, you know, especially when he's drinking.
In what way?
Oh, he can be abusive and, you know, irrational and violent. You know, he's 74 now, and he still, you know, is in trouble with the law like about every month or so. So,
what kind of violence?
Yeah. Oh, he just gets in fights. He's just like he's a brawler. I mean, he gets drunk and he just says stupid things and then, you know, gets in a fight. So, you know, the usual stuff.
How did he happen to come into the shelter where you were working?
Well, he called me when he was getting evicted from his rooming house, and I went over. You know, that was actually my first contact with him as an adult, was when I went there when he was getting evicted, and I knocked on the door of the room he had given me, and he told me to come in, and he was in the middle of the room in a galvanized tin tub taking a bath and drinking vodka from a silver chalice. And he stood up as I walked in, and so my first image of him was rising naked from this bathwater.
It's a pretty Freudian second encounter with your father.
Yeah, it's mythic. So that was our first encounter, and then he did get evicted, like, part of the next day. I gave him some money to, you know, to get another place or to put his stuff in storage, and then he just never got another place. Hotels like that, apartment houses like that were vanishing. You know, there's statistics, just, you know, thousands just disappeared across the country. So by the time this happened to him, there were less options, and so he ended up homeless. So a couple months later, he really had run out of options, and he really had nowhere else to go, so he came to the shelter where I worked.
Did it seem like a really weird coincidence to you that here you were working with the homeless, working in shelters, and your dad was homeless?
Yeah, of course. I've never really worked that out, you know, how much is coincidence and how much is, you know, somehow the two of us searching for each other in some way, you know, how much responsibility one can take. It's many things. It's not clear exactly what, you know, how exactly we ended up in the same place. The book is about that, trying to trace the, you know, the arc of both our lives, how we both ended up in the shelter at the same time.
What was the shelter like?
You know, shelters, it's difficult to, I think, comprehend it unless you've spent some time in one. You know, probably most people have read about them or have some conception, but on a daily basis, it's a, you know, there's sort of terrible things acted out. There's also, you know, enormously compassionate things acted out also. You know, it's people being kind to each other and people being understanding and also people doing terrible things to each other. But it's just constant, though. The thing about it is it's constant and it's like it's never ending and there's a flow. Like there's sort of something overwhelming happening probably every 15 minutes or something that you've never seen before.
In the book, you include some entries from the logs overnight.
Yeah.
In the shelter. Yeah. It's astonishing. It sounds like the police are there, you know, every half hour.
We had a policeman on duty all the time, so there was always a policeman there. And then cruisers would pull up and drop people off or take people away, or someone would smuggle a knife in and cut someone or smuggle a bottle in, or there were fights or psychotic episodes. There would always be something. I mean, some nights were quieter than others, but a day wouldn't go by without some sort of major violent incident. Yeah.
So what was it like seeing your father become part of this place?
Well, he didn't seem that out of place, really, in a certain sense. He's been around the block. You know, he's sort of been in tough situations before. But this was an extreme, though. It was shocking because it really felt like the bottom. Like he could sort of say that he was there, you know, as a writer investigating his next book, I mean, which is what he would usually say. But he really had no other options. And, you know, it's a difficult place where you do run the risk of being robbed. And, you know, he was robbed several times, you know, at knife point or hit in the head or, you know, and there's very few ways to protect someone against that, really, because it's, you know, the sort of the shelter sort of, these things happen. It's a desperate situation. It's a really desperate situation. So it was painful. It was overwhelming for me to see my father in that situation. Yeah, yeah. It was full of a dark humor also. All, you know, people that worked there were, you know, we'd go out afterwards drinking and just sort of laugh about the outrageous things that had happened that night. I mean, you know, that was our way of coping with it. So there was also a real bond of between the people that worked there.
Were you angry at your father ever for having let himself get to such a place?
Oh, you know, I think children always have to sort of deal with some sort of anger with their parents, I think, as far as I can tell. So, yeah, I wasn't spared that. You know, for him to end up in a shelter is extreme. It's an extreme. So sure, I've had to deal with the whole range of emotions around my father. I think I think sort of every complex emotion you could name, I probably felt toward my father.
How is he doing now?
He's about the same in some ways, except it's a huge difference between being homeless and being in an apartment. There's a, you know, for me it's a huge psychic difference. Him being housed rather than being homeless, and for him also, I mean, he sort of has managed to hold on to it for these years, which isn't always easy, especially when he sort of acts out. But, you know, and occasionally I've had to step in and sort of make things all right for, you know, the management company just with a phone call or something. But he's about the same. He still drinks and raises hell and is waiting to be discovered as a writer and, you know, has his manuscripts strewn about his room and his research materials. And it seems like he's sort of, you know, continuing to live the life he was living before. You know, where he is. When I go to visit him, I just sort of try to show up at the door and, you know, these days, I've sort of worked through a lot of things with him and a lot of, you know, maybe hopes I had for him or you know, to change or to be something else. And you know, I've come to some grudging acceptance of, like, this is who he is and this is the way he is. And we have a nice relationship now. I go and see him and we sort of, you know, we go for a walk in Boston and we just sort of check in on each other. And he usually often tells me some sort of outrageous story that's happened to him, you know, involving some unsavory detail of something. And I just, you know, I just take it in and, you know, and I'm not even writing a book about him. The book is over. So it's now I just do it, you know, to be close to him.
Nick Flynn is the author of a memoir containing a word I can't say on the radio. It's a word that is often abbreviated as BS. So I'll say it that way. The book is called Another BS Night in Suck City. Flynn's father gave the book its title. Nick Flynn spoke with N Strange Champs.